Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, back to take you down Remasculate Road. Yeah. You know, last podcast I had on Gavin McInnes. Oh, and what a podcast that turned out to be. Probably the biggest podcast I've ever done. Had almost 6,000 listeners. Now, for some, you might go, 6,000 is not a lot. Adam Carolla gets millions. Oh, what the fuck with Mark Maron gets a million or so. Hey, I am not them. Appreciate you, dude, listening and sharing this. But I got to tell you, when Gavin was on and I watched that counter creep on up, I'm like, holy crap, this is fantastic. So I contacted Gavin and said, dude, that was one of the best podcasts I've ever done. You were so much fun. You and I, we clicked. We kind of think alike. We both want America to be better. Where's all the men? Yeah. So I asked him back, and you know what he said? He said yes. So Gavin is on again today. I could only get him for a few minutes. Actually, the whole podcast is only going to be 34 minutes. So it's a short one, but I was glad to get him back in any way, shape, or form. And like he says in the end, he wants to do it again. He enjoys talking to me. I love that. And I love that you guys are back again to hear the podcast. So let's don't keep this going too long. Let's get Gavin back on. Here it is, Gavin McInnes. And welcoming back to the show, I'm very happy and excited to have back Gavin McInnes. Gavin, how are you?
I'm great, especially because you didn't say McInnes. Like everyone else does.
Oh, what are they? Did they really?
Yeah, even Siri says McInnes.
Well, Siri's not very bright.
No, robots can't. And I think there's an irreverence there. There's a lack of respect for the Scotch and the Irish who built the Western world with their own bare hand. They should say that name with reverence and not bastardize it.
Do you worry about things like Siri or what's the new thing that sits in the middle of the house that listens? Have you seen that thing? It's on Amazon that you talk to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I don't worry about any of that stuff. I mean, we have all these privacy paranoia in this country, and I think it imbues all kinds of authority on the authorities. They're stupid. And we used to have CSIS up in Canada. It was the Canadian CIA. Uh-huh. And they collected documents on everyone in the country who was remotely suspect, which was everyone. And all it meant was they had building after building full of files they had no idea what to do with. Now, I don't want to trivialize people hating the government, not wanting tabs kept on them. I just think that these morons don't know what to do with it. And maybe that means some of two minds about it, because on the one hand, I think these idiots can't handle our information. Let them go fight terrorists. They're not going to include us. But then the other hand, I think they're so incompetent that maybe we will get swallowed up by one of their dumb theories.
Well, did you wonder about how all the information that they collect over all the years, days, and the people? Who actually goes through any of that? Seriously.
Yeah, like on 60 Minutes, they said that they use algorithms, and then they see bomb like X amount of times or something. Then it comes up and they don't hear the actual conversation. They just check where it's going. But that piece on 60 Minutes was basically produced by the government. And the guy who did it ended up working for them immediately after as their top advisor. So, I don't know.
When you hear
words, what day of the week you get me on.
Well, like you said, they see the words or they hear the words bomb, bomb, bomb over and over. Wouldn't that be sort of like listening to your wife talk to you after a while? It drones out and you don't even notice.
Yeah. I've got a crazy idea. Rather than set up all these algorithms, why don't you give racial profiling a whirl? It does well in Israel at the airport. So let's start looking at anyone with a Muslim name in this country. I'm not sure why they're in this country in the first place. And let's start asking, why did you go to Jordan? What were you doing over there? Where did you stay? Oh, you stayed with your radical uncle? You're not coming back.
You stayed with your radical uncle for 7 months. Yeah. You didn't just go visit for the weekend or a holiday. 7 months.
That's called moving there and then moving back.
True. True. Now, why do you think the United States has been so hesitant against profiling? Because I'm from a family of cops. My grandfather was a cop, and In insurance, even like go back to insurance company, they profile you. Are you a drinker? Are you a smoker? Profiling isn't a bad thing.
Are you male or female? What they're sexist, they're ageist.
Yeah.
Because there's a bottom line. There's a dollar involved. Yeah, it's basically, I mean, the we all know what's going on here. It's Nazism. It's a fear of Nazis. So, and that's why we always come back to that with an analogy. You could be talking about beer and beer laws, and they'll go, oh, yeah, Hitler wanted beer laws too. Like, it always has to come back to Hitler, who, by the way, when it comes to genocide, was kind of an underachiever.
Wow.
I mean, 6 million is nothing. Mao did 77 million. That guy is the guy we should be talking about all the time if we're so scared of genocide, and his policies were communist. Or Stalin, number two, in at 40 million, 30 to 40 million. That guy really knocked it out of the park when it came to murdering lots of people. But for some reason, we always come back to Hitler. And
well, has Hitler lost its power now? You know, because everything is Hitler. That's you relate it to Hitler. So has Hitler sort of lost that, ooh, that's the horrible power?
Yeah. Yeah. Like when you see – I mean, I've seen Obama with a Hitler mustache and the hair down. I've seen George W. Bush. I mean, everyone who says anything. But so that analogy has lost its zing. But this – it's intrinsic in all of our culture now to be petrified of anything that seems racist or biased, because it will lead to death camps, and it will lead, or at the very least, the one I keep getting from liberals is, you know, blacks won't be able to get a job as an accountant because we'll have racist policies.
Right. Well,
they won't.
And everything is considered. You can't even make the joke. Like, I don't know if I sent it to you, but I had posted a picture of the zebra saying, "We're glad the Cecil's dead because zebras' lives matter."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I got flack for that. Like, why are you making fun of Black Lives Matter? I'm not. I'm saying it's a joke. Did you not get it? You know?
Well, it's really because we started letting women and children into the conversation, and now we have to put up with their total allergies to logic. Like, they don't even get the difference between general and universal. I'll say, like, I tweeted earlier that I'm mad at Kelly Osborne for saying that immigrants come here and clean toilets. We all know they come here to teach math and do brain surgery. And this dumb broad tweets some fucking Venezuelan brain doctor, and they think that negates my point. Out of the 30 million illegals we have here, one of them ended up becoming a brain surgeon. Ergo, my whole point is now moot.
Yeah, you're one example. I think I went through this the same exact thing the other day. I posted and talked about the crime levels of single parents, the like houses without dads.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And somebody wrote back, well, I ended up becoming such and such and such and such.
Oh, so, God, it's like, so boring.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you're the one example. The police records here say 83% of people without homes with fathers in them end up, but you're going to argue with me? Why can't we just say, you're right, that probably is something we ought to work on?
Yeah, and when did you learn that anecdotal evidence isn't considered scientifically valid? Was it ninth grade? Was it eighth grade? I can't remember how far back our teachers told us this. But one exception doesn't disprove the law, you fucking idiots.
Right. Another argument that I was having last night on Facebook with a friend of mine, an actual comic friend of mine, was – I don't know if you saw this. The FBI released a warning about Colorado and Wyoming, where – you know, Colorado where I live, about Middle Eastern men harassing military families. Did you?
Wow.
I don't know if you saw that. So
no, I didn't see that.
I posted.
Infuriating.
Yeah, I posted.
Can you imagine? Sorry to interrupt, but could you imagine it's 1942 in America, and German families are mocking soldiers who have come back and yelling at them? I mean, it's unthinkable.
Right. So why? Like, I posted this, and of course, like, well, who says this? You know, some redneck saw a Middle Eastern guy and said he was being harassed. And I'm like, no, this has been released by the FBI. Oh, so one guy reports it and we all have to go after them, every Middle Eastern person. So, I mean, it's like, I don't understand why people keep wanting to defend instead of just going, maybe we should keep an eye out.
Wait a minute. I want to be clear here. Were you saying Middle Eastern kids were harassing soldiers, or soldiers were harassing Middle Eastern families?
No, it said that Middle Eastern men had been harassing military families.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Can you believe the fucking audacity we let them all get away with? I mean, we're a nation of ingrates. And we've seen this get much worse in Britain, which I see as a canary in a coal mine, where we had dozens of children being raped and molested. Not that there's much of a difference, by Muslim men. And what was that, Rotherham? And the cops too scared to pursue it because they might be seen as racist.
Right.
Get racist, cops. Get racist.
Yeah, I argue with people all the time about what is right and wrong. That's all we should live by. What is right and what is wrong? Not as like, will it make them feel bad? Does it hurt their feelings? What is the right thing to do? And people don't seem to really understand that.
Yeah, war is hell. Crime is hell. I mean, I have it with my black friends in New York. They have two main points about growing up in New York. They go, yo, shit was crazy back then, man. We would get shaken down for our fucking clothes. They would steal, you know, if you had Air Jordans on, you get beat up and stolen. And they'd rob you at gunpoint. And then right after, 30 seconds later, they'll go, man, the cops were nightmares back then. They would just grab you and say, what the fuck are you doing here? And shake you down. Or Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about how I would be in a store and people would stare at me. They didn't know I was an astrophysicist. They thought I was a gangster. Why? Because you looked exactly like every gangster in New York, and New York was in a war zone at that time. And you go, you can't have one without the other. You can't say it was a fucking nightmare Vietnam war zone and people were mean to me. I know. They were trying to clean up a war zone. Or NWA do that on Straight Outta Compton. Their two main points of that record are a motherfucker got it bad because I'm brown, and talking about racial profiling from the police. And then I never should have been let out the penitentiary. Well, I thought you just said the cops were bugging you for no reason. And then you said you're a psychotic killer? It sounds like they got the right guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that sounds sort of like it's when you hear people say, why don't the more moderate Muslims stand up and speak against the radical Muslims? It's to me, that's been the same argument with the black community is like, don't act a certain way or don't dress a certain way and talk against those who are giving you a bad name. I've never understood that.
You know, blacks are unique in that when they get to be middle class or upper class, they totally cut themselves off from the black community. They live in nice white areas. They don't get involved in charity and mentorship the way, you know, poor white guys who built themselves up go. They just sort of – their mentality – and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but their mentality seems to be, that's a lost cause. Just get me away from it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it. Fuck them.
Are you profiling?
I'm profiling. And then Muslims, I sort of feel like they do the opposite. And when they, you know, are moderate and safe, they sort of see these radicals as – guys on the front line doing the dirty work. And though I don't agree with them blowing up a cafe in Israel, well, at least they're keeping the spirit of jihad alive, and they're sort of on the front line so we can be safe. It's very different. And that's the problem with all this. We're all the same thing. We all have incredibly different ways of dealing with things. I mean, even the South, they did this study where they had these people walk down a hallway and through little screen holes, they go, hey, asshole. And they noticed that the Northerners tended to just go, what the hell was that? Keep walking. Whereas Southerners would turn around and go, what the fuck did you just say? Who was that? What was that? And they noticed more Scotch-Irish DNA in these Southerners than the Northerners, who had more Dutch kind of German DNA, these white people I'm talking about. And they concluded that there's something about that Scotch-Irish DNA that you just can't let a slight pass. And we're talking about, you know, a group within a group within a group here. And they're still noticing vast differences. I'm fucking fighting all day on Twitter with these guys calling me cuckservative because they think I'm too friendly to Jews and blacks.
Yeah, now explain that. I was looking that up the other day. Explain that to the listeners, what exactly the cuckservative is.
Well, I think it started out as something fun that I was interested in, where it was mocking neocons who want to take our troubles to the Middle East. And it was mocking these open border Republicans like George W. Bush, like all the Bushes, like Marco Rubio, who think that America includes open borders and amnesty towns, and fucking Jeb Bush's wife can't even speak English. I like mocking those guys and the politically correct right that wants to kowtow to liberal reporters and say that, you know, we're not racist, we're not racist. So that's that interested me. But then it turned into this thing about how if you think that blacks and Latinos can be included in a new right America, then you're a cuck and you're not a true conservative. And if you know, if you think that blacks aren't ruining this country and blacks alone and our only future is whites only, then you're a cuck. I'm like, sorry, I know too many cool black dudes like Tlaib Starks who totally get why PC is evil, and plenty of white dudes who are a scourge. In fact, you know, bourgeois liberals have done more to fuck with my life than anyone else. So and the irony too is these guys are talking about cucks anonymously with a fake picture. And you go, you, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to sit there and talk about other people not being brave enough when you can't even put your name next to your fucking quote, you wimp.
See, I, that's part of the whole thing that I argue with people about the conservative just having that attitude, is that doesn't mean you're automatically a bad guy and you want everybody murdered and buried except for white people. You know, it's kind of like we're trying to just say we can all come to the middle here and kind of agree and maybe let the edges fall away, like both sides go away.
Well, sure. I can even be more racist than that. I can go, whites seem to be the best at making societies. So let us run shit. Like Haiti was better when whites were in control. Jamaica was better when whites were in control. America was better when only dads voted and we didn't have women giving their emotional vote and minorities voting just because the other guy's a minority. I'm not saying take away their votes, but please don't go to the polls if you're not really informed.
Educate yourself.
It's like my family. I mean, I'm the only white guy in my family. My wife's Indian. My kids are Indian. But we celebrate birthdays, which is a white tradition. I mean, the cake is from 15th century Germany. It's a white song. We do Santa Claus, more old Northern European traditions. And Western culture is mostly white culture. And I think everyone recognizes that. That's why they flood here. That's why blacks who claim they hate it don't go back to Africa. And when they tried doing that, by the way, it was a complete failure. Now, we're not better than other races. In fact, if you look at IQ, we're much dumber than Asians, but there's just something about us. I don't know what it is. We're great at inventing stuff. We're hard little workers. Colin Quinn was talking about how when the wasps showed up into Brooklyn, they were going to get, you know, crushed by all the other groups that didn't want them there, but they would just sit down and just start sanding a chair on the sidewalk. And they go, you can't really mess with hard work. It's it doesn't start gang wars when someone's redoing their furniture and opening a little shop. So I don't know. Everyone has their little quirks, and our little quirk seems to be we're good at infrastructure and inventions. So why don't you just let us fucking handle that? And Jared Taylor told me once, he goes, when I talk to Africans, they don't have a beef with that. In Africa, they just go, white man is very good at inventing and making machines. That's his thing. And it's like, good, let me do my thing here. Leave me alone, fuck.
Well, that's what – if everybody just sort of did their thing, that goes back to the old thing my grandfather used to talk about. If you mind your own business, you won't be minding other people's. You know, it's like –
exactly.
Just go do your thing and leave everybody alone. What is it? Is it Twitter that has now given everybody an opinion?
Well, the times when it starts affecting all of our happiness is when you say – women, every minority, every sexual proclivity has to be equally represented in every field, because there's no way that one group could have a natural tendency to something. So now we have, you know, white guys who would make great cops can't get into the police force because they have to fill minority quotas, or women have to be in the fire department even though they can't fucking do any, they can't carry 120 pounds, which is the job description. You have to carry out bodies. Because we have this myth of equality in our minds, we have to enforce it everywhere. And now we don't have people doing what they're good at.
Well, yeah, that, which brings me to a question I have to you. Now, this chick fighter that everybody's been talking about, this Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
Everybody's making such a
– I fucked her, by the way.
Oh, get out.
No, I didn't. No,
for a split second, you were like a hero.
It was a great second. I basked in it for that whole second.
For a whole 34 seconds. Because everybody's making such a big deal about this and how, you know, what a great fighter she is. And she actually needs to go, was it Meriwether? They you know, like she should take on. And it's my personal thing. Is this really a good idea to be holding a woman up as like, hey, go beat the shit out of people?
Yeah, it's sexist is what it is, because they take male traits like being a badass and kicking ass, like the Ghostbusters, busting ghosts, and they say women are great at this too. And you go, that's like having a dude on the cover of Vanity Fair dressed like a woman and saying he totally rocks. Oh, wait, they did do that. Okay. we've trivialized childbirth. It should be like this woman had six kids by the time she was 26. What a fucking badass. That rules.
Yeah, and her vagina is a miracle.
Her vagina is creating six lives, and she's continuing to shape them in a solid home with a man. Now, that might not sell magazines, but that is more rock star than anything else. Now, Ronda Rousey, whatever her name is, she is an outlier. She's a strange exception, anecdotal evidence, but even she gets that gender matters. And she has said in the past that she would never fight a man because there's a possibility that she'd lose, and there's just something not right about a woman lying down on a mat as a man towers over her and punches her in the face 50 times in a row. That's not a good image. But yeah.
But what are we given? What is that image given to you? Would you want your daughter? Are you taking your daughter to that fight and go, look, that could be you, honey?
Never. But, and this is the meritocracy thing, and I'm like everyone. Right? I'm like society in general. My list of possibilities includes that. So I'm not going to push that bullshit on my daughter. I'm not going to make her, ride a motorbike and all this shit. But if she's good at it, then by all means. And it's funny because I bought the kids a BB gun and my son was a total spaz with it. And my daughter picks it up and she's just like, pew, pew, like can after can goes down. Now, I wouldn't have expected that. It defies the stereotype, but maybe it's because she just got glasses. I mean, she was fucking killing it. So the BB gun's her thing. So if my daughter was the same way with MMA, off she goes. I love MMA. It doesn't lead to brain damage the way boxing does, and that'd be great for her. But this idea that men and women are equally predisposed to be fucking fighters is just juvenile. And the scary part is the people pushing this, they don't really believe it.
Well, I had this discussion with a female friend, DJ, that – this kind of attitude of pushing like her being – she's so manly and look, ladies, you can do this. You could go into the ring and you could go to the gym and you're equal to a man is sort of leading to the rape culture.
Yes, totally.
Is because men are not respecting women as something special. They're just another guy, and if I can beat them in the alley with my dick, why not?
Yeah. Well, first, we don't believe in rape culture. We know men go to jail for rape, but I know what you're saying. It makes women more vulnerable. And we saw this with Spring Break. I said, women are more vulnerable down there. And everyone called me sexist. And then 9 kids got shot and 2 girls got gang raped because it was party time. Anything goes, man. Women are the same. And I remember I wrote this article once. I said, you can hit a woman for every 12 times she hits you. And that's blows to the head. You got to take them all and you can't block them. And then 9, 10, 11, 12, and just fucking nail her. Because she's obviously delirious if she's hitting you 12 times. And all my conservative friends were disgusted and said, no, the number's not 12. And I go, what's the number? Or 20? They go, there is no number. You never hit a woman. I go, what if she's really like breaking your nose? They go, no, never. All the feminists I know didn't like the article because 12 was too high. They go, no way. It's 1 for 1. They go, 1 for 1? She's going to be dead.
Right. And I was raised, like you just said, never hit a woman. Never. There is never any reason. You can physically like move her to the side to, you know, she's blocking your way, but you never hit a woman.
Almost never.
There's got to be some reason, right?
Look, 4 blows to the head. She's completely delirious. I mean, that's 4 to the head, a bunch to the chest. She's going to miss a few. She needs a slap. I I mean, she's lost it.
Well, have you ever been in an argument with a woman, say even your wife, where you actually see the physical change when they get angry? It almost like is a Hulk like, why didn't you call?
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's funny you say that. My wife's an Indian and, you know, they're not great with their booze, and she'll get, after four glasses of wine, she has what me and her brother call the creature. The creature comes out. And her eyes are facing different directions. And if the creature gets mad, well, you better just run for the hills.
So you actually see the creature coming? Is there?
Oh, yeah. With all women. When women are drunk in a bar and you get to that thing where they stop talking and they stare at you.
Uh-huh.
Your shit is about to go crazy. Men just get tired and maybe grumpy and leave. But women, they change. Hold on a second. I think I might have to go.
Sure.
Are we leaving this? Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you back now. There you go.
Great.
So we were talking about before the phone thing that your wife goes to the place where she goes when she drinks.
Yeah, that's not that common, especially not anymore. But back before we had kids and we would party, I would have to – you know, when you are with a woman who's drinking, you're with a ticking time bomb. And I know men have a bad rep for violence in bars, but I see those fights. They're very sporadic. They're usually racial. And they are controlled fires, you know, one-on-one. But women are not meant to drink. Those babies, babies are made there. So that's why they have to have these fruity drinks to disguise the fact that they're tricking their body. We drink bourbon neat. So we're pouring gasoline down our throats. It burns your throat and you enjoy it because this isn't important. Look at a female spider's body. It's five times the size of a male spider because the body's more important. It makes the things. Half the time we feed the male to the female because she's hungry. That's how useless we are. We can pollute this piece of shit body. That's why we are covered in tattoos. It's just a junk heap.
The thing you said about the fruity drinks hits a note with me because – I have noticed that guys are now leaning toward the fruity drinks.
That's a whole other thing.
I have brought this up in my stand-up now. The whole thing about Fireball drives me crazy. Like all the new country music is leaning toward songs about Fireball. And it used to be whiskey, real whiskey. And cowboys drink whiskey, real whiskey. And it's like you said, tastes like gasoline. It's not supposed to be disguised as candy, you pussy. John Wayne would
cinnamon.
Kick you in the cunt.
Fagball, they ought to call it. I can't believe that drink is so popular. It's
me
at
either.
Every bar now. But even worse than that, skip Fireball. We were at the airport recently, and I can't fly without a buzz because I'm too cheap to do anything but coach. And if you have a good enough buzz, coach is first class. So I'm running to the bar to just power back a couple doubles of Makers, and the guy is shaking the things. My buddy, my business partner, is like, can we? And the guy's getting kind of grumpy, and he's looking at us going, I will tend to you when I'm ready, sir. I have to make this. And we're like, what the fuck are you making anyway? Then he's finally done. He pours two large blackberry margaritas for these guys. Guys.
Oh, no.
Okay, not gays. And they also, by the way, which is another pet peeve of mine, have a water with the blackberry margarita. Like there's not enough water in their fucking drinks. And they were the reason we almost couldn't get drunk before our flight because they had to prepare their fucking thing. And the woman next to them had a beer. She had a Stella. And here's a handy trick if you can do accents. If you want to confront people without getting beat up,
uh-huh.
You pretend you're a foreigner. So
what is that you are drinking, Dad?
Yes, that's what I go up and I go, can I ask you a question here? I'm from Scotland, you know. What's that you got? And they go, oh, they're blackberry margaritas. And I said, listen, we don't have that in Scotland. And so here, and she's got a beer. Yes, she does. And you get a water with that. Yeah, we have a water. That's our thing. We have two blackberry margaritas and two waters. And I go, so women drink beer and men have these fucking fruity drinks. And they go, yeah, I know. And then he looks at me with one eyebrow cocked and he goes, not normal, right? And then I was pissed off that he wasn't getting pissed off. So I said, do you use a fucking spray tan too? And then stormed out.
But, so they knew it wasn't normal.
Yes, but they saw it as more like, I like Tabasco sauce in my beer or just something kooky. No, it's not kooky. It's not even faggy. It's sub-fag. It's female.
Is it vacation? Were they going on vacation? Because that is the only time. Can't you let that little bit go if you're going on vacation and you've gone to the Bahamas and you can have a piece of fruit and a flower in your drink?
I might cut you some slack if you drank the entire bar dry last night and you're so hungover you think you might die of AIDS and you're like, I need something different. I can't look at another vodka or another bourbon. What's that blackberry thing? I need some fruit. I'm going to die. Okay, yes. Go have a blackberry margarita. No one's waiting behind you. It's 10 a.m. Fine, we'll let it pass. But at the fucking airport? God damn you.
Now, what is your drink of choice? What is – I'm a retired drinker. Jack Daniels was my choice, but
– Yeah. I'm a maker's man. Like, I don't lust – I mean, I find other women attractive, but I don't pine for them. I've got my wife. I'm good. She's the one for me, and I feel the same way with Budweiser and Makers. The king of beers is already there. Why have the prince of beers? Why have the duke of beers? We have the king.
It's been settled. It's been decided.
It's been decided.
Let the decree go across the land.
I mean, I don't want to sound like Castro, but I don't understand why there's any other beers available. Why are we fucking around with all these pumpkin ales and cinnamon spice drinks? There's Makers and there's Bud. And you go to these old man bars in Brooklyn where black people and women never go, and they'll just have three bottles and then just beer on tap. That is just beer. Like, you go, is that Bud? Yeah, I think it's Bud. I'm not sure.
Aren't those bars the scariest? I remember the first time I worked up in Rochester, New York. And after a show, they took me to a neighborhood bar. You know, those New York neighborhood bars
that
every indie movie has, you know?
Yes, they're the best.
Yeah, and they're almost scary. It's dark. It's dingy. Everything's yellow from cigarette smoke.
We need safe spaces. Like, college students get to have a safe space where they can watch puppy movies if they get offended.
Right.
Men need a safe space where they can be racist, sexist, and crude, and a little homophobic. And those spaces are bars and barbershops. Those are our Israels. We were given them, and we let you do whatever you want, but I don't even like TVs in these things. I don't want women in them. I don't want young people in them. Minorities are welcome if they like the same jokes as us. If they have accents and don't know who the Fonz is, go to your hookah store. I don't want you in here.
Did I not see you post something the other day about who brought this bitch into the barbershop or something like that?
Yes. It was infuriating. He went and had a haircut and she just sat there. And my barber, I'm not Puerto Rican. I don't get my haircut every 3 days. So it's nice to see the guy. I see him like once every month or two. And I've got all my rude jokes stored up. And she's sitting there and I want to talk about queefs and, you know, eating out girls when they're menstruating. And then there's this fucking wallflower sitting there. And then I just thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not holding back. And I just let the floodgates go and I could see her ears burst into flames. And I'm like, sorry, you drew first blood. You came on our land.
You drew first blood. Do you tie a little thing around your head?
Yes. I turned and faced her when I did all my worst jokes. So, but come on, guys. Do you not know the basic rules? Is this because there's so many single mothers? And by the way, sorry, just to totally take us off track, you were talking about crime and single moms.
Yeah.
I did an article called The Missing Dads on Tacky Mag, and I dug up two charts. And one was single parent families in New York, and the other was gun murders in New York. They look, I'm not exaggerating, exactly the same. It has Manhattan and all the boroughs, and the single parent homes and the gun murder homes are indistinguishable. And I'm talking about, you know, hundreds of square miles here and thousands of little dots.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing.
I haven't kept up. I couldn't tell you the statistics now, but it seemed like – didn't it seem like back in the late 90s or early 2000s, there was just a whole big rash of like, hey, let's just all get pregnant. wouldn't there seem like everywhere you turned that it was just sort of that way, and everybody to date would be like, well, I have a 2-year-old, I have a 16-month, like it was just the thing to do.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm from Canada, and we're talking about millions of people in different areas. But what disturbs me right now is not only are millennials not fucking and not getting pregnant, not getting married. They don't even want to. I think porn addiction is about to devastate the millennial population. And all this stigma and everything isn't great either. But these guys are beating off so much, they're walking with a hunch. And they're scared of the world.
What a great line. That's a great line.
I implore all your listeners, all men, to join my No Wanks movement.
No Wanks.
You can only beat off once every 30 days. No porn or beating off more than once every 30 days. And if you're single, you'll find you get unsingle real fast. And if you're married, your marriage will improve 100%.
Yeah, I was just – you beat me to that line. I started to say if it – I'm never going to talk against masturbation. Never. We're not the church here. But sometimes when you hold it up for 4 or 5 days, maybe a week, when you're out on the road doing stand up and you come home, you can't wait to unload.
Yeah, you're just a better person too the whole time. Anyways, Steve, I got to wrap this up because I'm hitting the road again.
Okay.
Get some overpriced turkeys.
All right, man. Well, I'm glad you called. I appreciate it. Let's do it again. I love having you on. Like I said, my listeners go ape shit when you're here. So.
Sold. I love talking to you.
All right, man. Have a good rest of the day at your antique shops.
Thanks.
And I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Sure. See you. Bye. Always fun. Always. And he's always welcome here on Remasculate. Guys, I hope you had a good time with us today. Always fun having you with me. Please come back. Please come back. Please come back and listen again and share the podcast with all your friends. Let's help this thing grow. I do this out of my little studio basement here. And you guys, I love that you come back again and again and again. Thanks. And remind you, you can find us on Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, anywhere that podcasts are stored and shared is where you will find this little show. So copy it, paste it, share it, tweet it, Facebook it, whatever you need to do. Put it on a USB stick and shove it in your friend's car when you're driving. Do whatever you got to do to make this sumbitch grow. All right? Till next time, God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. And make sure you hit the donate button on the Podbean page. Yeah, that's what you need to do. Help me keep this thing alive. This isn't cheap. It isn't free. Cost me something. Oh, but I was about to say, go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.
In the basement of the mud flap house, fluffing and poo, and they're under with ingrains and ooze, and poo licks herself, and flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and stooges three, men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about boobs and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you lay. Oh, won't you come with me and remask you lay?
Aloha!
We are not here to please you. Instead, we are two guys from faraway land of Finland.
Talking about things like
superhero-like animals,
forest porn,
space travel and science,
getting old,
and general geekery.
And you can listen to us and find us at wearenothereto please you.blogspot.fi
and beardsandbullshit.com/WANHTPY.
We are of course also on Facebook, iTunes and Stitcher.